Our second reading is from the letter to the Romans, chapter 13. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The word of the Lord.
Good morning. Let me set some things here. It is our first Sunday of Advent, and it's an honor and a privilege and a challenge to be sharing the Word of God with you this morning. As Johnny said, Advent is a time of preparing, of waiting for the celebration of Jesus' birth and Christmas, and especially of preparing and waiting for His second coming. Advent has a lot to do with light. That's why, or coming to the light. That's why the tradition have these candles that we light every Sunday towards Christmas. But the question that I want to ask you is, how do you feel about this season of Advent? We've just had Thanksgiving, probably ate more than we should have. We were running around with a lot of things to do, places to go, and people to see. It's supposed to be a happy season. For many, especially if you're kids, probably it's a time you relate to presents and happy memories. But maybe, for many of us, it may be a time that implies stress, anxiety, even sadness. I know for myself, it's going to be the first Christmas without my mum to call and to talk to, because she passed away in March this year. I know that that's a reality for several of you here. Maybe it's going to be a time of dealing with sick people in the family, work situations, etc. And at the same time, our society, where we live, is pushing us to do a lot of things and to feel in a certain way. And maybe you just don't feel like that. Maybe you don't feel up to all this buying, shopping, going, doing, talking, smiling, whatever. We walk around our neighborhood and we see all these lights and decorations, but maybe, and just maybe in our own heart, we see a bit more darkness than light. I have said at some point in my life, please, somebody stop the world. I want to get off for a while, because I feel I'm like a hamster in the wheel. And this morning, this first Sunday of Advent, Isaiah is giving us an invitation. We were singing, "Come, come, O Lord." But here Isaiah calls us and says, come, Come, let us walk in the light of God. Let us pray before we continue. Heavenly Father, we come to your word knowing that on our own we can't live in the way we should. We need of your word, we need of your Holy Spirit to glorify you, to serve you, and to get to the end of the day in a way that honors you. Help me and help us to understand your word, to make it part of us and to put it into practice, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. So the first part of this sermon is the invitation that is in verse 5 of Isaiah chapter 2. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Come. The first aspect of this invitation is, come, move from where you are. Stop doing the same things you've been doing and correct your course. Stop believing the things you've been believing about yourself, about others, about God, and come to Him. Believe in Him. Believe His word. The second part of this invitation is, let us walk. It doesn't say, you walk, although that is implied. It is a communal invitation. It says, let us all walk together not just some of us, let's all walk together as the people of God. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. The third part of this calling is to come to the light of God. When Isaiah wrote this, and he would look around his nation, I think he saw more darkness than light. He saw social oppression. He saw idolatry. People had forgot about the poor and the widow and the orphan. And they had built idols that they had adopted from other nations. And they put these idols in the higher hills that they found around the place, because that way they thought their idols were nearer to heaven and had more power. If you think about it, Isaiah's time and our time sounds a bit the same. Or not. Maybe just my imagination. Sorry about that. We live in times where people build idols, maybe not of statues many times, but build idols of things in their life. Maybe good things, like family, kids, sports, music. But they have become idols in our lives. We've put them in a place and we've given the time that we should be giving God. That's basically an idol. One of the commentators I read said that this chapter, the whole chapter 2, that we read just the first bit, but the whole chapter talked about two transforming powers. The transforming power of hope and the transforming power of humility. In verses 1 to 5, he's going to talk about the transforming power of hope. And in verses 6 to the end, he'll talk about this transforming power of humility. And as I see it, this is the way, in these two powers, is the way how we are called to walk in the light of the Lord. Let me explain. In verse 2, Isaiah is reminding the people of Israel that the ultimate reality is not what they see around them. It's not what they experience in their daily life. That reality is what God is doing and what God will do in faithfulness to his promises. This is a bit like when you have a kid and they're really small. I know if you're parents, you'll know this experience. And you leave your kid in their bed and you walk out of the room and they'll cry. From that kid's experience, what they see is my dad and my mom just disappeared from my life and the existence. And that's terrifying. Because for them, if they see you, you are there. If you don't see them, you don't see your parents, they've vanished. And in that process, as parents, to teach them, don't worry, I'm in the next room. You have to learn that I am here, even though I don't see you. Even if what I feel is terrifying, I, as a parent, slowly but surely managed to teach my kids, okay, and they stay in bed, and they sleep happily, most of the time. With God, it's the same. We look around and see, oh God, this is what's happening. My health, my family, the world is falling apart. Where are you, Lord? You've disappeared. But God, in his word, is saying, no, I am doing something. You don't see it, but I'm here, I'm doing something now, and I'm going to do something at the end. And here he says that the house of the Lord will be lifted up over all mountains, over all hills. Why do you think he's saying that? Because the people were putting these idols on the hills. And God is saying, okay, at the end of the day, my mountain, my temple is going to be the biggest one. Because I'm the really true God. And all nations will see this and come to him. Verses 3 to 4, we could basically summarize this as the kingdom of God. People coming to God to worship God in his temple, and God governing his people and bringing peace to the whole earth. One way that we could define the kingdom of God is the people of God in the land of God under God's reign. And this is what we see here. People coming to the land of God, obeying, being under his rule, he being the king. So there's power in living in the light and the hope of this reality that's the real reality. What God is doing, even if I don't see it. even if it's something that's going to happen and I don't know exactly when and how. The third aspect that is in the part of the reading that we didn't read is the transforming power of humility. And basically, that whole section, we can define it as God is going to be exalted and humans are going to be humbled. As we would say in a more commonly way of saying, humans are going to be put in their place. The question is, how does this speak to us in this season of Advent? And I want to tell you a story. That's me. I look powerful there. You see, I have a light here. I thought we would turn off all the lights, but that's too much complication. Many years ago, I went to visit a coal mine in Chile, near my hometown of Concepcion. This coal mine went under the Pacific Ocean, hundreds of meters down there. Yes, I work in meters, sorry. We went down, it was a friend of me and a guide that was an ex-miner. And we went down with these helmets and the lights. My friend was shorter than I, and I was a bit taller, and I would keep bumping my head in the beam sometimes, and my light would fall off. But we got to the deepest part of that mine. And we sat on the floor. And the miner told us to put our lights off. Is this off? No, it's not off. We turned the lights off. And at that moment, I was waiting to see a bit after a while. That's what normally happens when you turn off your light in your house, in your bedroom. Your eyes get accustomed to the dark and you see something, your hands at least. But I couldn't see a thing. I could put my hand there and nothing. And it was so weird because at some point I was sitting at the ground, I knew that. But I felt like I could have been sitting at the edge of a cliff or skyscraper. And the whole world, sort of my sense of orientation and where I was all around the place. Because obviously down there was zero light. In the same way, when we live in the darkness of this world, we are completely disoriented. But when we let the light of God come into our life, and we start walking in His light, we can find our path. That's why the psalmist wrote that the word of God was our lamp at our feet, like the lamp of the miner. If we don't have that light, we can be walking in any direction, thinking that we are right. But we may be walking over a cliff. Don't know if you remember, but in Chile there was a rescue of 33 miners. That should be the next slide somewhere there. Yeah. And in this rescue of these miners, they were had been in the dark and the deep of the mine for many days. When they rescued them, they came out wearing sunglasses. That wasn't a fashion thing. It wasn't for, so they looked cool coming out of the mine. It was because their eyes weren't used to the light. So many days in darkness, they just couldn't come into the light like that. It was going to hurt their eyes. In the same way, when we come to the Lord and come start walking in the light, it's maybe not going to be that easy. It's going to be maybe a difficult process. And that's why we are called to walk together. Walking in the light has to do with walking in faith. It's walking in the promises that God has given us of what He is doing and what He is going to do. And at the same time, to walk in this believing in God's promises, believing in that He's doing something in my life and in your life, we need to walk in humility. Because I need to believe that what God is saying is true and He's right. And He knows better than I do. I remember a story that I can't remember the writer that said it, but it was a famous writer, and he said, talking about his personal experience, and he said, when I was 16, I found that my dad was a complete ignorant. When I turned 21, I thought, wow, how much has my dad learned in so few years? We tend to be prideful and think we know more than we do. And God is saying to us, if I tell you that's wrong, believe in me. If I tell you this is the best way to go, believe in me. If I tell you this is not important, believe in me. If I tell you this is really important, believe in me. Now, we don't live in the time of Isaiah. So the question is, how does this apply to us looking from this side of the cross? And there's a slide that I want to show you there that shows us the two scenarios of what we call the day of the Lord or the last days from the Old Testament perspective and through the New Testament perspective. Oh, there it is. It's a nice slide. If somebody wants it, I can give it to you. But I just want to look at the New Testament side of things. Because as in the time of Isaiah, we're called to look forward in hope and humility to walk in the light of the Lord and what He is going to do and He has done. But at the same time, you and I have an advantage. I think a big advantage. Because Christ has come. He lived the life that you and I couldn't live. He died the death that you and I couldn't die. And He rose from the dead. That's really something you and I couldn't do. And we live with that powerful light behind us. We know stuff that the people, the big famous Isaiah prophesied about, but we are on this side of that part of history. Christ has come. His kingdom has been inaugurated. He said, walking in this earth, the kingdom of God has arrived. And yes, we live in this weird time of now, but at the same time, not yet. I still feel sick. My mom still dies. My hair goes gray, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we live looking towards God's second coming. Will all this will be complete? Will this creation will be completely redeemed? That's including us. We live in the time, in the light of Jesus coming. John 1 verse 9 says, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world didn't know him. But we know him. I want to invite you to stand, if you can. And I want to invite you to say together, and to say to each other, and I'll say it and you'll repeat it, because I didn't put it there. There was an idea I got last minute. O house of CCV, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Okay? Let us say it together. 1, 2, 3. O house of CCV, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Good practice. Now, really. My hair has to sort of move backwards. O house of CCV, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Holy Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, let us not be afraid of coming towards the light. Of coming towards Jesus, that is the light of the world. Lord, we pray that your light may shine in every area of our life. Maybe there are areas in our life that are still in a bit of darkness and need your light. Let us help us, each other, to walk together in the light and towards the light. Help us, Lord, to believe that what your word says is the reality, the eternal reality. And let us humbly come to you in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.